Hi, this is Charles Martinet, and you're listening to the VooksNet VookCast. Woohoo!
Coming to you from somewhere in Australia, it's the VookCast. Hello, it's episode number 140. That's a big number. My name is Stephen Impson, and along with me are my wonderful friends, Daniel Worthington, who doesn't like being announced the second.
No, I don't mind it. I just want to know why it was always me. I didn't want to make a thing about it. I feel quite embarrassed now and ashamed. And I'll just go back to playing my
game. And along with him... Along with him, we have normally introduced second, Troy Wassenaar. How are you?
Oh, a bit shit now that I've been introduced last.
Maybe I'll just, like, introduce everyone before me and just be a completely nice
introduce us both at the same time.
It's Troy-Neil? Troy-Neil Worthenaar?
Oh, now you're just playing God.
This weird amalgamation that I podcast with on a regular basis.
Like a strange version of Dragon Ball Fusions. That's what we happen if we do.
I didn't even do a dance. That's why it didn't work.
So if this is your first episode, sorry. And secondly, this is a podcast where we talk about Nintendo things from an Australian perspective, I guess you could say. So yeah, there's been some things happening over the last couple of weeks, which, I mean, I always, every episode I say it's surprising, but it's not anymore because stuff's happening now. So I figure we'll start with some Switch stuff because Switch is exciting. What do we got first? Lego City Undercover is coming to the Switch. Is anybody happy about that? Should we just move on without talking much about Lego City Undercover?
All I need is less loading times.
I would rather a new Lego City Undercover game.
Oh, of all people, I thought you would be like, woo, can play it again on a different console.
I 100%ed that damn thing. I did everything I could do. I loved it. I enjoyed it.
There's loading times though, right?
Yeah, whatever. I just played on my phone.
How many minutes ago were you thinking about buying Sonic All-Stars Racing on a fourth platform?
That's different. That's a racing game. There is just time
this
trials
has cars.
And challenges. but, yeah. Look, I probably put, like, you know, 50-odd hours into Undercover, and I finished it. I played through it all. I even played the 3DS one, which everyone shat on, but I didn't.
No, nobody played the 3DS one. You're lying.
I did. I
no.
did.
You think you did.
No, I've...
You say you did.
I can take a photo of, you know, a time, and I finished... I
think there are photos of Bigfoot out there.
I think I did, like, 100%, or probably, like, no, 80% finished that. Well, I got to the end, but I didn't complete everything just because some of the areas was a bit weird to know what to do. I like that as well. I like the Lego City world that they've designed. I would like to see something new and just, yeah, explore more of that world. I'm happy the game's getting a second chance, so that people who didn't get to play it get to play the best Lego game. But
hello.
On the same respect, I would like something new. And, I mean, apparently for LEGO Dimensions, there is some LEGO City stuff in there.
Yeah, well, I've already got my... Was it Chase McCain?
Yeah.
Sounds like he's got, like, a series of frozen meals or something.
McCain, you've done it again.
I mean, it's such a... the story is so fun. And just with him...
Oh, it's brilliant.
Frank Honey is just one of the greatest characters ever.
That debrief with all the different cop characters like Starsky and Hutch and I can't remember who else is in there. Dirty Harry or whatever.
It's such a great 80s parody, and like the way the game opens with like walking on sunshine playing and the just reveal of Lego City is like, this is one of the most fun game worlds I've ever explored and just mucked around
in. It's GTA Lego.
And that final stage is just still one of the most epic things I've ever done.
I haven't got that far because the loading times just killed me.
Yeah, and as Troy mentioned, like, apart from the loading times, do you think there's going to be anything else, assuming that the Switch is more powerful than the Wii U, any other things that you think might improve the game with it being on a new platform?
Well, it's also coming out on, what, PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Yeah, basically everything.
Though who knows if there's going to be console-specific features or content?
Well, the Wii U had a lot of Nintendo Easter eggs hidden away in it, so you'd imagine that those wouldn't be on the PS4 and other versions.
I look forward to the Xbox just having, like, a hidden Battletoad. PS4 will just have a very angry Kratos, because that's the character they have.
What, PC will have Half-Life 3 references in it?
PC will just have this copy of Half-Life 3 that doesn't work. So yeah, LEGO City Undercover, it's coming to a new platform in spring 2017. I might play it, I might not, I'm not going to promise, but maybe.
So, with all the rumours that are flying around at the moment, that could just leave, like, what's it, Tokyo Mirage Sessions and Pikmin 3 as, like, the only sort of Wii U games that stayed Wii U games.
Yeah. We'll see.
Or Nintendo Land, and other stuff.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Speaking of games that have been on other platforms, not the Wii U, though. So we've heard some more things from Todd Howard, who is of Bethesda. I did an interview with Glixel, who is a new gamey website. I haven't really read too much into them, but they're a thing. They did an interview with Todd Howard, who firstly confirmed that Skyrim on the Switch is definitely a thing after it was kind of maybe, maybe not for a while there. And yeah, he was ridiculously impressed with the Switch, apparently, sort of saying that it was the best demo they've ever seen when they saw it at E3 in June, apparently, which I'm jealous he got to see it all that way back. And yeah, they're saying that they want to, you know, it's the most excited they've been about a Nintendo platform since the NES era, and sort of name dropped some games that he apparently worked on, like Home Alone and Where's Wally / Waldo, which is a bit hilarious. I didn't think he would have worked on that sort of stuff. But yeah, that's cool that, you know, they're impressed. I don't know if they're being paid to say that, but it's positive.
Hey, I mean, this new system that we don't have a game for because we haven't confirmed it yet. Although, no, hang on, did he confirm it in that interview that it
yes,
is the thing?
Yes, yeah. Okay. It's been pretty much confirmed that Skyrim's definitely a Switch thing.
The fact that they're doing that is, you know, the proof in the pudding that they are impressed.
And I guess they probably don't have much newer that they could bring to it, but I imagine it's more likely that whatever Bethesda's next big thing is, it'll probably be on the Switch as well as everything else.
It's better optimized than Skyrim.
I'd still rather Fallout 4.
Even that's poorly optimized. The Bethesda, the core team, just really suck at making game engines.
That's
just objective fact.
I guess.
I still think that's half the charm of their games.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'll play Skyrim again, but
I started playing it on the PC with the recent thing, and it's still buggy.
Yeah.
I think it's buggier than when I first played it. So
it's like marginally prettier, but buggy as hell.
Yeah. I mean, with Bethesda, I'm pretty keen for a Doom port. I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah.
But if it does, damn.
Oh, man. That'll make people on the train so uncomfortable. Just like looking at these horrible, gory images on a little Switch screen.
Oh, they'll deal. It's Doom. They'll be into it.
I can't wait. that's happened. So here's something that's a bit more disappointing, and it sort of starts into a big line of disappointing news. Sorry. So there's a whole bunch of Super Famicom games going onto the Virtual Console in Japan for the console's 26th anniversary. 26 games, to be exact. But there's no announcement that they're even coming anywhere outside of Japan, which is a bit of a bummer. Although some of the ones that are listed, I feel like are already there. Like they list Mega Man or Rockman X3. We've already got that, don't we?
Pretty sure.
And Castlevania 4 or Super Castlevania 4. So I guess maybe we have some of them, but I don't know. I feel like
Punch Out.
Yeah, actually, I think all of the games on this list, except for, like, Romancing Saga, we already have, so maybe I shouldn't be so disappointed. But still, it feels like we never get Virtual Console games, and I need to complain about it somewhere.
I think Virtual Console's pretty much dead.
Yeah.
I mean, the 3DS Virtual Console's not doing horrible.
Isn't it?
It's, I don't know.
But usually every couple of weeks there's something coming out for it.
I feel like, I don't know, it's, I guess, on the Super Nintendo theme. Like, they announced a couple of games that were coming to it. They came out, and have we really heard much beyond that?
Get a Super Nintendo game or two. It's usually sometimes two or three from a third party.
Okay.
I do way too many of the eShop updates, Dex. I know this.
Yeah, you would know. I stand corrected.
They do like a buy one, get one for half price or free or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they were sort of holding off, like most things, sort of holding off developments to put it onto the Switch rather than keeping it going on the old system. But, you know, speculation and all that. Who knows?
It would be nice if the emulation. I mean, the NES Mini shows that they're getting the hang of emulation.
Yeah, I've been saying that ever since the NES Mini has been a thing, but man, it would be nice if they put that much effort into the Virtual Console.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything more on that? More Virtual Console whining or happiness? Well, Darksiders Warmastered, we won't get it for a little while. Don't know when. Yeah, there's not really much to say on this one, but it was coming to PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Wii U. Is coming to PS4 and Xbox One still on time. On PC, I think they have a date, but it's delayed from everything else, and the Wii U is just at a later stage. Just sometime.
Is it the Project Cars?
Oh, man. I wouldn't be surprised, quite honestly, but
I mean, THQ Nordic have been pretty good to Nintendo. Like, Darksiders 2 showed up in the Humble Friends of Nintendo bundle.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I guess. But, I don't know, at the same time, I can kind of see why they might not bother.
I think they're holding off, personally.
Yeah, like if Darksiders Warmastered is a Switch title, then they probably would, you know, get a lot more return on their development investment by making it a Switch title than putting it out on the Wii U, I think.
Yeah, Nintendo like to occasionally latch on to the M-rated crowd.
Yeah, games. Occasionally.
Occasionally, yeah. So I have a feeling that's look, it's not just kiddie Mario games on the Switch and a strategy.
It's been like that since the GameCube. It's like, look, we have Resident Evil.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I probably wasn't going to get it on the Wii U anyway. Like, I do want to play Darksiders, but it'll probably be better on PS4. So that's where I'll play it if I do. So no big loss for me, but
I was going
to sorry to anyone. Yeah, going to say you would, and I'm sure there's heaps of people out there that will, and it's a bit of a bummer for them.
I really enjoyed the first Darksiders on 360, but I think I sold it a while ago, and I wouldn't mind having it again, because it's a nice game to have.
Yeah.
And I think like the first Darksiders, I probably enjoyed more than the second one, because it was a lot more focused, whereas the second one's like this huge multi-world spanning quest and all that, whereas Darksiders 1 was a bit more... You're in America, you're in some city that's been just destroyed and ruined, and it had this cool sort of post-apocalyptic New York, but overrun by demons and stuff, and that was, you know, it was different.
Well, when it comes to Wii U, people can play it, I guess. Man, just keeping it on the sad train. So there's a fan games section of the Game Awards, which is coming up in the next week, I think? I think it's later on this week. But yeah, there are fan games, and they were going to have both Pokemon Uranium Edition and AM2R in that list, but they mysteriously disappeared from the nominees. Spooky Nintendo.
This has nothing to do with the fact that Nintendo is one of the sponsors for the Game Awards, and that they went out of their way to get these titles removed from the internet.
So we had a little bit of a discussion about this before we started recording, but I will let Daniel start his to put forth his view, and then we will take things from there.
I just think that they were justified in doing it. That's I don't know why, but I just think, I can understand why they did that. But Nintendo's trying to defend their copyright, and so they would rather not promote stuff like this being made.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Do we have a counterpoint?
I just think that it's silly to have a fan games section of a Game Awards and then pull fan games from it on the basis that they're copyright infringement when fan games are going to be based on IPs. So I think if they're going to pull those games, they might as well pull the entire category.
I kind of feel the same way. What is a fan game to me is not like an indie game where it's all completely new, like original content, original stuff. It's just
it's derivative.
A fan game. Yeah, that's literally
not
what it is.
Not in a bad way. That's what a fan game is.
And I don't know, it just seems very arbitrary. Like, I can completely get where you're coming from, Daniel. Like, it's, yeah, they have the right to protect copyright and stuff, but I don't know, at the same time, I feel like it's a bit weird. If they're going to do that,
they might as well just pull the whole thing. If that's the reason they're pulling them, is that it's an infringement on copyright, then they
like
all
having
are.
A look, the other stuff that's been nominated, there's only two still in the list now, which is Brutal Doom 64, which is, that's actually, I didn't know that existed. So I assume that's Doom 64 in the Brutal Doom engine, which
is
really cool.
Doom 64 different?
Doom 64 is completely different to regular Doom.
And then
it's like an entirely different game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dude, don't you have Doom 64?
Nah, there's only, I think all I'm missing from the N64 first-person shooters is that, Duke Nukem, Daikatana, and some little game called GoldenEye that is apparently.
Well, of those, get Doom 64.
Yeah, I keep seeing it at Mad Retro, and it's expensive, and I'm like, eh, maybe.
And the other game on the list is Enderal, Shards of Order, which I have no idea what that is. Does anyone have any clues on that?
No.
The Skyrim thing.
Cool. But yeah, and I guess it just seems inconsistent to have Brutal Doom on there and say, oh, but you can't have, you know, Brutal Doom is literally a remake of a game that exists, whereas, Pokemon Uranium and Metroid are derivative of games that exist, but they're not.
The funny thing about Brutal Doom is ID Software is like, hey, congratulations, guys. Good on you.
Yeah, it'd have a much different point of view on mods. Like, that's always been there, like, from the very start, they've been always very supportive of created content. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't surprise me. Whereas Nintendo, I guess, have famously always been super protective and restrictive of what you can do with their stuff.
Oh, man, I saw something the other day, apparently, like Nintendo's targeting, sending out DMCAs. Is that what it is?
Takedowns? Yes.
Yeah, they're issuing takedowns to sites hosting fan-made porn of Nintendo characters, which I think
that would be a fun job for their lawyer to troll through. Well, yeah, clearly that's all that we can talk about with fan games.
They're not just squids.
So yeah, I guess on to finish up with things with some reasonably good news. It's not very surprising, but Pokemon Sun and Moon sold a whole pile of copies. More than Watch Dogs 2, which I don't know if that's surprising or not.
Shocked,
I don't know,
I
thought Watch Dogs 2 was looking to be pretty popular, and I guess it still is to be the number 3 game in the country, but
what happens when you edit out certain genitalia but not others? So everyone's taking a stand.
I guess.
Pokemon sold like crazy. Like the midnight launch that I went to, there's a couple of photos on the Vooks Facebook page. Little old Canberra. We had something like 300 people show up just to the one store.
Man.
And there were 3 stores in Canberra doing midnight launches, and apparently they all had a similar turnout. So that's 900 people.
Man.
In one city at midnight.
It's a little off topic, but I'm jealous that you can have midnight launches. It's just not a thing in WA.
Yeah, no, I forgot about that.
We still don't let's do that.
I think only in like Kalgoorlie or something. So like, I'm not going there.
Why would you even bother?
Exactly.
That's what we should do, a Vooks road trip to Kalgoorlie for a midnight launch.
Switch launch.
Yes! Hang on.
Well, let's pencil that in.
I'm sending Vook a message right now. I mean, it's not just, everywhere. It's probably, like, I think UK was the highest selling, the best launch Nintendo's ever had for a new title.
Yeah, I think it's like one of the most pre-ordered games just ever.
GameStop in America, I think it was like the most pre-ordered game in history.
That's crazy. Like, I guess, I don't know, you'd think that would go to like a Call of Duty or something, but I guess Pokemon has a wider, broader sort of audience.
The hardcore collectors are getting both. So why not? Every single person is getting both. That will inflate the numbers a tiny bit.
And then there's the fact that, younger people, older people, people that are outside of the, like, 16 to 25 male gamer demographic, there's going to be more people outside that will play Pokemon. Whereas
Pokemon's for everybody, which is great.
Not the Call of Duty isn't, but to a, lesser degree, I guess.
Call of Duty's for 5-year-olds.
Well, let's just leave you with your opinion. Anything more to say on that, or shall we go on to the rumour-mongering section?
I wonder how much of this... this has been the, 25th anniversary for Pokemon this year? And they've done a lot of...
1996.
Okay, cool. So, and they've done a lot of plot, like, it's been a big year for Pokemon when you think about it with, like, Pokemon Go and now this. And I think a lot of this has to do with the Pokemon Go effect. Like, that launched at the right time for a lot of places and it put a lot more attention back on the franchise. And I still have to wonder, like, if they had have used Pokemon Go to more advertise Sun and Moon, just how much better it could have done.
Well, the thing with that
is... I think it did.
That Pokemon Go effect was... mostly notable in Australia, that effect didn't really happen overseas to the same degree.
No, really?
Australia, for some reason, just latched onto it.
I guess because we were first. Like, that might be part of it.
We were first.
It's still super big in Japan.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, they launched pretty late in Japan. But that Australian... like, remember when it first came out and there were photos everywhere and there were thousands of people that went to that Pokemon walk in Sydney? Do you see that anywhere else?
Trampled. Not really.
See, like, the small community things where people, like, one or two or a handful of people show up. But in Australia, it was, like, in the hundreds and thousands. Questacon here in Canberra was swamped by hundreds of people where littering was a problem.
Yeah. Just issues. I know that when I was in Kings Park, there were ambulances, more than one in the few hours that I was there. Ground being trampled just because of so many people walking on it. Not like people were purposely ripping it up. It's just lots of people, lots of feet. It's going to ruin things. So, yeah, I didn't really hear about that much, you know, outside of Australia. But then again, I wasn't also paying attention. So, who knows?
I mean, not to shoot down your point, Daniel. I was just this is why I think it was so popular in Australia, Sun and Moon. Is because for some reason, Australians just went nutty over it.
And I think if they advertised it in the game, like, obviously this isn't, can't speak for everyone, but I feel like I would be more, I'd feel more positive about the Pokemon idea, brand, whatever you want to call it, if it didn't advertise things to me. Like, it just getting Pokemon back there into people's minds is probably better than saying, hey, by the way, pre-order Pokemon Sun and Pokemon
Moon.
What I mean
is not so much just saying, hey, there's a new game coming out, but... what I've always thought they should have done in Sun and Moon is, like, a month out from Sun and Moon coming out in Pokemon Go, just or even just change all of the Gen 1 stuff into their Alola form.
Oh, and yeah.
Just use that as, like, oh, hey, these new...
I thought they were going to do that. Yeah, I thought the next generation they're going to add were going to be Generation 7 stuff, but it looks like Gen 2 is the next one, going by the data in the game.
We got Ditto and apparently Gen 2 next, yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that, I don't think they should have been advertising, having pop-up ads and all that, because get that stuff the hell away from me. But I just think that they could have done something like that and...
yeah, I guess that's fair.
Subtly pushed people going...
sort of a little bit more obvious to the, like, hey, this is Pokemon Sun and Moon, it's not just Pokemon Red and Blue anymore.
Yeah.
I reckon January we'll have something, just because that's when the Pokemon Bank is coming out. Or Sun and Moon.
Oh, yeah.
So, we'll see where that goes, but I think January is going to be another big Pokemon month in some degree.
Some Switch rumors. They're a thing we'll finish off the news with. It's not really news. Take this with a grain of salt. It's all rumors. So, I haven't paid a great deal of attention, but Daniel, you were talking about a Rabbids Cross Mario RPG, which just sounds ridiculous to me.
That's the rumor. I mean, other than that, I've heard that that's a thing that's going to be happening.
I actively don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I had my fill of Rabbids in, like, the Wii launch. That was fun for a little while, but I don't think the Rabbids have I don't like them. Sorry,
the Rabbids are the minions of video games.
Oh, you're so right.
They were fun, like, once, right?
They're the pre-minions.
Yeah, it was like, oh, cool, Rabbids, this is kind of cool. They're funny. Ha, okay,
so fun
done.
And goofy.
Isn't so there, like, done. Only one really good game with them, though? And that's, like, the Wii platforming one that came out?
Like, I liked the very first one just for how, you know, the various weird, dumb things you could do with the Wii Remote, but... yeah, I don't think they really had much point
the
existing
only Rabbids,
beyond that.
The only Rabbids game I've played is the one that came out close to the 3DS launch, which was, again, some 2D platformer. Like Rabbids in Time or some shit.
Raving Send us Rabbids a tweet if you're a massive Rabbids fan.
Raving Rabbids, the first one, which is a whole bunch of party games, was actually kind of fun in its own way. It was like Mario Party, but Rayman. And then yeah, Rayman just kind of disappeared, and we had a whole bunch of screaming, awful rabbits. And
then Rayman came back in like a platforming mode.
Yeah, it's basically what happened to Spyro with Skylanders. It's just...
Oh, man.
He is like a sort of annoying offshoot of us, and who's the main character again? Now Donkey Kong is in it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
This side of video games is weird, how they just misappropriate the franchises.
Yeah. Were there any other Switch rumors that I've missed out on?
Xenoblade's meant to be coming to it. Xenoblade X, sorry.
Such a great game if you haven't played it.
I haven't played it. I probably won't, but that's cool.
I mean, I'd like to know what is going on with it, because I played some of that for when I did that marathon a few months ago, the gaming marathon, and I was hoping to play that over like the summer, But now that, I mean, if that does come to the Switch, then I'm like, well, I may as well just hold out. But I'd like to know soon what's going on. I mean, it'd be nice if when they have that presentation, like, and here's all the ports we're getting in like a quick sort of 5-minute video, just so I can go, cool, don't need to play them.
Well, that is happening in January, so just, I mean, were you really going to play it between now and January?
Not like you can. I'm like a quarter of the game through, and I'm 70 hours into it.
Yeah, just hold out. That's my tip for the day.
Some of the games on my list at the moment. So.
With a game like that, it'll be great portable. Wasn't there a Pokemon Stars rumor or something?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, something about Sun and Moon actually eventually coming to the Switch or something.
That's got to happen. That's got to be like a lock or something.
With a name like Stars and all of the whole, like a lot of the characters are mentioning different regions. You know, whenever they release a game and they'll be like, with, what was it? The Sinnoh games, Diamond and Pearl. And everyone was talking about Johto. And then we had the Johto remakes. And then Black and White, everyone was talking about, oh no, they didn't have remakes.
Yeah, then they just got Black and White too.
Yeah. No, X and Y had a whole bunch of Hoenn references, and then we got Hoenn remakes.
Yeah, you're right.
So, the way that everyone talks about every single region, and specifically Kanto in this one, I wonder if they are going to eventually do that open-world Pokemon game.
Just every Pokemon region. Everywhere. That would be neat. That would Intense. Sell Switches.
It'd be a lot of work.
Yeah, it would. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if even, like, just in the interim, we just do get those Sun Moon ports. Like, if you could transfer your data over, that would be even better. But, I don't know, it would be cool to be able to play a 2v2 fight without the frame rate going into single digits.
Yeah. We'll get into that in a bit, right?
yeah. Let's leave that for later, I guess. Well, on that, should we go to the next topic later after a break?
Yeah.
Cool, let's do that. Hey, we're back. Pokemon came out. Some of us have been playing it. One of us has been playing Bravely Second, because, I mean, sure, he does that.
hipster.
I have a huge backlog. We know this. I buy a lot of games. And
you should eat more fiber.
The only way I can actually finish stuff is I need to stick to my backlog list the way I do it. Because if I don't, I never get anything finished. And I like being able to see games through, so, yeah.
Well, Troy and I are going to see Pokemon through, but we've been playing it for a little while, and we've got some things to say about it. I'll just preface this by saying we probably won't cover stuff that we already talked about in last episode in the demo, because I don't want to be too repetitive, because I'm sure that'll be boring.
The demo, Christ.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, so what are your thoughts, Troy? I'll leave you to start on this one, and yeah, we'll take it from there.
I really like it. There's a couple of big flaws that did kind of get me a bit annoyed at it, but overall, definitely the best in the series.
I think, yeah, I'm along the same lines. My favourite, I think the best thing about it is that they've done a lot of things to really just improve sort of quality of life stuff that doesn't matter a lot, but it just, like, little minor changes that make stuff way easier. Like, we talked about the move list showing super effective, not effective in fights. If you've already fought that Pokemon, that is ridiculously useful. There's the fact that if you catch Pokemon, you can insert it into your party without having to go back to a Pokemon Center to, like, rearrange stuff. Like,
I love it's, that.
It's so much, so useful. Like, I can catch a Pokemon and immediately use it. Like, and as well, it also gives you more reason to use items. Like, instead of going all the way back to a Pokemon Center, I can just, you know, I just use one of the potions I have sitting in my bag and I can just use that Pokemon straight away. It's really neat.
Yeah, lots of quality of life updates, basically.
I guess on that as well, like, the HMs aren't a thing.
Yeah, like raid Pokemon.
Yeah, like, I speculated that in the demo based on the Tauros there, but yeah, they've gone all out. You can just even assign it to a D-pad direction and just have a Pokemon. It just appears and can break rocks or go over rough terrain or fly, and you get fly really early as well.
Yeah. My favorite is the Machamp, who carries you while using strength.
I've heard about that. I'm not up to that yet, but yeah, I've heard that that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want to be carried by I just feel so safe with Machamp by my side.
Yeah, it's definitely a cradle. my biggest, what I really liked about it is with the Pokemon stories, like even just going back and looking through a list, the way that the story is told, Red and Blue, Gold and Silver, it was your story as a trainer. Team Rocket were just an obstacle to overcome as part of your growth as a trainer.
Mm.
Ruby and Sapphire had the whole, the world will end if you don't stop these guys. Diamond and Pearl, the universe will end if you don't stop these guys.
Just upping the ante.
High stakes.
Black and White,
yeah.
He's a psychopath, you know, trying to... You know, basically the stakes were increased. X and Y was the epitome of that. And replaying Alpha Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, it felt even more depersonalized. It could have been anybody.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
But then Sun and Moon brings it all back down again. It's a personal story. It's about you and the characters around you.
And yeah, like, it's a lot more, the individual characters that you meet, they play much more of a longer term part in the overall story. Like, you meet them more than once, and they, you know, they sit and have dinner with you, and it's just they get more out of the characters than just I am a gym leader, you must defeat me and get my badge to go to the next one.
Well, the trials, and I think calling them trials is really smart as well, are part of the plot. It's part of your strength as, like, your growing strength as a trainer, and I really, really enjoyed that. It made me feel invested again. Because what's the point of naming your character if the whole universe is going to die? You know?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess that there's also... Oh, I'm so excited about this. There is finally, like, some actual personalization of your character as well. Like, you can choose from one of a bunch of... like, one of a bunch of photos at the start to represent who you are, which, like, I don't know if it was intentional, but it's a nice thing for, you know... I guess gender diverse people. You don't have to say you're a boy or a girl. You just be who you are. That's kind of a nice thing.
I mean, I did hear the criticism.
Is there an option to say I like wearing shorts?
You can buy lots of pairs of shorts.
Oh, okay. They are comfy.
They are. They're easy to wear. But yeah, now you can go to shops all around the place and they'll all have different fashions you can buy, hats and bags and shoes and socks and shirts.
That was in X and Y.
Not really.
Yeah, it was sort of there. The fashion was.
It was kind of there, but I feel like this is, I don't know, I didn't really feel it in X and Y. I didn't feel like I owned my character as much as I do here.
Well, they took it away again
really
in...
feeling it.
They took it away again in the Hoenn remakes, so...
Oh, maybe that's why I'm not remembering it.
We kind of skipped a set of games with them.
Yeah. And no, I'm not really feeling it, Daniel.
glad you caught that, that's all.
So yeah, that's nice. Gosh. One thing I will say, that along with all these improvements, there's one thing that happens in some wild Pokemon encounters that is immensely frustrating. So you'll be fighting a Pokemon. It's all going well. You're just like slowly chipping away at their health because you're not overpowered. I've found that the wild Pokemon are actually sometimes a challenge depending on how much you've been grinding, which is a nice, refreshing way to do it. But then you get, they're like, you know, just getting to the red health, they call for friends. And another Pokemon appears. And full now health. You have to fight two of them. Yep, on full health, you have to fight both of them. And you can't send out a second Pokemon. It's very rude of them.
Yeah.
It's just now, so frustrating.
It was hinted at in the trial, in the demo. Mm. And I thought that was going to be a trial-specific mechanic. Like,
they do it in a lot of the trials as well.
Yeah, but it was, my story with this is I found a Magby, and I got it down to red health, and Ultra Ball apparently didn't quite cut it, and then it called for a Magby. So, I faint the Magby, throw an Ultra Ball, didn't cut it again, and this Magby is fire type, and I have my Dugtrio out, which is steel type now.
Yeah.
And it was just tearing through. It was 30 levels under, and it was just tearing through because I wasn't fighting back.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I went through two Magbys and a Magma, and I still couldn't catch it. And I just went, this isn't worth it.
One of the more annoying parts as well is that you can, like, when the second Pokemon appears, you can't try and catch the first one if there's more than one Pokemon there.
It's impossible to aim, apparently.
Like, no, because they're...
The thing with it is, apparently this is the new chaining for trying to catch shinies.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Sort of on that topic, I've noticed that there are actually some Pokemon that only appear as helpers to other Pokemon. Mm. I was talking with a friend who was going through and spent like an hour trying to catch a Corsola. And apparently there's I think Toxapex. It's like a weird sea anemone Pokemon that only appears as a second Pokemon if you're fighting a Corsola, because apparently in the story they are a predator that eats Corsola.
Oh, that yeah. Thing. Yep.
Like, Corsola is really kind of hard to find on its own. Then you have to get one, hope it calls for friends, and hope that it calls for the thing that wants to eat it. And it just sounds like a frustrating way to try and catch a Pokemon. I haven't tried.
Yeah, I'm reading. This is the Pokedex entry for Toxapex. Toxapex crawls along the ocean floor on its 12 legs. It leaves a trail of Corsola bits scattered in its wake, which leads me to my next topic. How dark are these Pokedex entries?
So dark.
It's not just the Pokedex entries.
They've always been dark, though. It's like, you look at... look at the Drifloon, like, you know, the kids that grab its hand and sometimes never seen again.
That's nothing. I'm sorry. There's a story in the graveyard where you talk to this lady and she's at her husband's grave with her, with her husband's Machamp. And apparently the story goes is that he got into a car accident, died, but before he did, managed to put the Machamp into its Pokeball. And now the Machamp hates going into its Pokeball. It's sped. It's really like, what the hell? I wanted to have fun.
I get what you're saying, Daniel, but I feel like the older ones that were a bit disturbing were more implied. It was a bit more like, oh, if you read into it and assume this, oh, that's such a spooky story. But like Gengar's Pokedex entry is, should you feel yourself attacked by a sudden chill? It is evidence of an approaching Gengar. There is no escaping it. Give up. That's the entry for Gengar. Like, there's no subtlety there. You are just going to be consumed by a Gengar, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, they're beating you around the face with the darkness of it this time.
Yeah. what else? There were a couple others that I saw.
Apparently have... Basically, the power of Mega Evolution is mutilating these Pokemon. Like, mentions of fused bone in these Pokedex entries.
Oh, that's so horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, one that Daniel will like. You know your favourite koala that you wish was in Australia, but it's not?
And there needs to be an Pokemon Australia. Sorry.
It is born asleep, and it dies asleep. All of its movements are apparently no more than the results of tossing and turning in its dreams.
Oh.
See what I mean?
Pokemon Company? What is wrong with you? Can't it just be, this one's Diglett. It's a delightful little mole that likes digging underground. Aww.
You're like the primate one.
On the Drifloon one you were talking about, it does talk about how it grabs the hands of children and takes them to the afterlife, but it adds a second line to it and says it dislikes heavy children.
Oh. So I thought that was
a bit intense.
Primate one is, it has been known to become so angry that it dies as a result. Its face looks peaceful in death, however.
I mean, reading up like some of the, I mean, I've you know, the old ones that are just, like, disturbing to no end. It's like, this one can burn 5 times hotter than the sun. No, it can't! If it could, the planet would be dead!
But, like, I honestly, like, these Pokedex entries have me reading every Pokedex entry of every Pokemon that I catch, whether it's a new one or an old one. I just want to read all of them because often they're just like, what the hell, man? What's going on?
It should actually read it out. They should have voice acting so it reads you out in, like, Dexter's voice.
Yeah, can you imagine, like, a chipper voice reading out Frostlass? When it finds humans or Pokemon it likes, it freezes them and takes it to its chilly den, where they become decorations.
Well, listen to this. Drowsy from Pokemon Silver. It remembers every dream it eats. It rarely eats dreams of adults because children's are much tastier.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I guess to move on, because I don't want to read all the Pokedex entries as fun as it is. Yeah, I was talking about catching first-gen Pokemon and stuff. That's one thing that I'm not really super big on, or that I'm super, like, have a mixed opinion of, I guess. The variety of Pokemon that I'm finding, there are lots and lots of last-gen or early-gen Pokemon, and I don't know, I feel like I'm not seeing new ones as much as I would like. Like, I've got a team that is pretty much everything in it except for my starter is from an old generation, and I feel like that's, I don't know, whether I'm just ignoring the ones that are there or what's going on, but I've just,
my
I feel like the variety's not there.
Is because you can play all of the previous, like, generation 4, 5, and 6 can all be played on the 3DS.
Yeah.
And they usually do these remakes to let people trade Pokemon from the older generations where it's a bit harder and if you don't have the hardware.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I don't know, I just found like, there were so many, there was a point where, you know, a friend I was playing with, like, their team was, like, 80% birds. There were just lots and lots of different bird varieties, like birds
and fish.
There
were so many birds. I mean, it makes sense on an island.
It does, and I guess, a lot of the, you know, Pokemon being of similar types is probably exactly as you say, like, it's an environmental thing more than anything, but I don't know, I just feel like I've gotten to the third island and I still don't really feel like much of my team is stuff that I'm going to keep if something more interesting comes along. They're all just kind of there,
like,
until I find something better.
Alolan Exeggutor.
Yes. Oh,
which has his own island.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I can't wait to go there.
Sorry, I'm just getting distracted by these. Here's another bullshit Dex entry into Lavatar. It feeds on soil. After it's eaten a large mountain, it will fall asleep so it can grow. If all these things are eating bloody mountains, why are there still mountains? Is it pooing out a mountain after it's eaten it?
It evolves. It uses all the energy to turn into a Tyranitar and then destroy the Earth.
Sorry, I'm done.
It's basically Pokemon Godzilla.
Go back to ignoring me.
Well, I mean, that's about all I can think of with Pokemon. I'm really enjoying it. I love the Pokedex entries. I'm not super in love. I like a lot of the new Pokemon, but not enough to train them sometimes.
Which starter did you go with?
Oh, I went with Popplio. I kept my promise. I involved it into Primarina last night, and it's so good. All of its moves are various dancing and singing, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, have you used the Z-move for it yet?
The something Vortex?
Well, that's the water one, but it's got its own Pokemon-specific one, which is...
Not yet. I got
Oceanic
that
Operator.
Crystal. Yeah, I got it yesterday, but I haven't actually had a chance to try it, so I look forward to seeing that when I play it after this podcast, probably.
Speaking of Z-moves, how do they feel?
They're fine.
Yeah, they're not as battle-changing as Mega Evolutions are, in my opinion, which is actually a lot better.
I found Mega Evolutions a little bit, I don't know, I wasn't a fan, but Zid moves are just, you know, it's a once-off powerful move. Like, you can use it once per battle, if I'm understanding it correctly. Yeah, so it's just, you know, it's one big move. It's not like, you know, you can get a Pokemon that can just obliterate anyone who doesn't have a Mega Evolution. It's just, yeah, that's one powerful move, but it's still bound by the same typing, you know, restrictions as everything else.
I think it's basically a multiplier on whatever move
yeah.
it goes on top of.
I've noticed that, because, like, you can have, like, if you have the Waterium Z and you have two water moves, I look at both and they'll have different damages, so I assume, yeah, it's something to do with the multiplier on them.
Yeah, and if it's on a non-damaging move, like, I had a grass one, a Grassium on my Exeggutor, which knew Sleep Powder, and it said Sleep Power Z instead of whatever the damaging grass move is for the Z moves. I don't know what it did.
Yeah, actually, now I think about it, I can't remember which Pokemon I had it on, but there was one where it had a stat-boosting move, and it just boosted the stats ridiculously instead of doing any damage. So, yeah, it just seems to be like a multiplier for moves you already have.
Yeah, and then you got Pokemon-specific moves, like for your starters. I think there's, like, two different Pikachu ones, and then an Alolan Raichu one, a Snorlax one, an Eevee one. There's a lot of stuff.
Why is there I'm much happier with the Z moves than I thought I would be. Sorry, what?
So why is there no Alolan Pikachu?
There is.
Because, no, the Raichu is. Oh.
But isn't the one with the little, like, hearty tail the, like, Alolan variant?
That's a female Pikachu. Version.
Jesus Christ, Stephen! Well, how have you not known this?
Wow. He's up. I mean, we have Mimikyu, I guess.
Yeah. Mimikyu. I haven't found one, but I still want one.
It's part of a trial. He'll be...
Oh, okay.
Try not to spoil too much, but it's pretty obvious that if you've landed on the third island, there's a captain that introduces you that looks very ghost-like.
Ah, yes, there is.
Yep.
Cool. Do we have any more Pokemon things? That's okay. But yeah, anything more to say? I think I summarized, but have you got more, Troy?
I feel like they're going back into the right direction for Pokemon and making it your story as a trainer again. Not just with the plot, but in general, the trials feel like they're set up for you rather than just gym battles and, yeah.
Yeah, it's something that we've, every time a new Pokemon game comes out, someone says, I wish they would just get past this 8 gyms in a league format. It's so old. And they've done that. I find it a little bit confusing. I don't fully understand how far along I am in the game, but that's kind of good. I don't know exactly what I'm doing in a Pokemon game for once.
To break it down, it's basically 7 trials split across the 4 islands, and each island will also have a Kahuna that you have to beat after you beat that trial's island's trials.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cool.
I didn't understand until I beat it all, but...
Well, I'm glad you can impart your wise knowledge upon me and the audience.
I misread and I thought there were 7 trials per island. And I'm like, God, this is going to take forever.
I guess that's Pokemon. So we'll take another quick break and finish everything off.
Yeah.
Without a burrito. So hello everyone, we're back. We've just had a very uncomfortable break, but we're back. We're going to finish off the podcast, mention all the stuff that's been going on the site and the Discord and all the wonderful stuff you all need to know about. On the site, we've got a whole bunch of new reviews. I did the Paper Mario review. I probably made it pretty clear in the episode I talked about it, but I really, really liked Paper Mario. And you can find out exactly why in the review if you don't want to go back and listen. Vuk did some reviews. You should. I'd love it if you did. Vuk did some reviews of Pokemon Sun and Moon if you want an alternate take on how wonderful the game is. Sonic Boom, Fire and Ice got a review. It's not as good as Pokemon Sun and Moon, but...
Oh, really?
It's there. No. Sorry, Troy. Are you disappointed?
Oh, whenever I hear Sonic, my expectations just skyrocket.
And, gosh, we've got eShop updates that are always there, but they're still there. Thank you, Troy, and thank you, Vuk, for some of them, I think. I don't know.
You're when I'm too tired to do them.
Yeah. And we had a Smash Bros. Tournament on the Discord. Troy will give us a quick rundown of how that went, if he may.
Yeah, it went, and...
Oh, that's nice.
We were actually worried because the netcode is peer-to-peer. In layman's terms, it basically means that there's no dedicated servers. The Wii U's are talking to each other through Australian internet, and we could only set it to 4 free-for-all. So 4 people in free-for-all, and we were really worried that it wasn't going to hold, but it did. I think there was
that's good.
Reports that it was like one match that didn't go so well.
Okay. I know, I haven't tried more than 2-player Smash since, like, Brawl. That was just so bad that I never wanted to do it again. So it's good that it worked better than expected.
Yeah, we had big turnout. I think we had, like, 19, 20 people show up at least. The winners chose some emoji. We got Marth and the female villager from Animal Crossing.
Nice.
And we got some footage as well. Let me check how many people we have on here now.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for capturing the footage. I think it was... Was it Tina who did
Tina, one of our mods. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina.
We have 218 people in the Discord currently. So, awesome. Everyone's nutty for Pokemon at the moment. So, if you want trades, I love it. Spoilers.
Before Pokemon, I could go into like the normal chat during the day, and you'd be able to get a conversation an hour ago in there, and it's like, hello?
It's all in the Sun and Moon channel. So, if you join and you want to... be a part of this conversation, let us know if you've got Sun or Moon or both. We'll give you the tag and you should be able to access the channel. A bit more lenient to spoilers in there, basically.
Ah, yeah, that's probably a good plan. I guess that tag will help people find trading partners.
Yeah. We also had Lunik or Sam, one of our mods, kind of set up a small battle royale, which is one of the new features in Sun and Moon night on Saturday. That was our last gaming night. And the last Discord thing is that we're hoping to do a Triforce Heroes, the Legend of Zelda co-op 3DS game night this Saturday.
Hooray!
Cool.
For people who, like, played the first world and then stopped.
That's me.
Like me. Yeah, try and finally finish it, because we paid good money for it.
It's actually not a bad game.
It's just hard, because it's only worth playing with 3 people, and it's hard to get 3 people willing to play. I know people have finished it with one person, but...
But that's no fun.
You know, for everybody else who doesn't hate themselves, I think we had, like, close to 20 people vote for it, so there should be plenty of people joining in, hoping to finish this game.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's Discord.
Cool. And that's the Vukcast, I guess. Thank you very, 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 very much, everyone, for listening. I appreciate it. I'm sure everyone else appreciates it. It's very nice.
Yay to our new album art, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Man, I should have mentioned that. Dang it, you've sprung that on me. I can't remember who created it. I will put
Thank you.
Yes, I'll put a link in the show notes to the Twitter profile of the wonderful person who made it.
Just edit in. The say over the top now, just like, thank you to insert name here.
Yes, let's do that. Thank you. I'll put a link to the thing in the show notes and you'll see their new art. You'll probably have been looking at it for the last, 40, 50 minutes at this point. So yeah, that's there. Thank you. If you want to tell your friends about us, that would be wonderful. Leave a wonderful 5-star review on iTunes. That would even be more wonderful. And yeah, if you want to follow us, I am at Stephen Impson on Twitter. Troy?
At StewReview, StEW.
Cool. And if he's not engrossed in Bravely Second, Daniel, where are you on the internet?
You're implying I've been playing a game while you guys have been waffling on about Pokemon?
Yes.
Worth Nintendo on Twitter. Worth is in money. Nintendo is Nintendo. On Twitter and YouTube, which I have a weekly rubbish vlog thing of me talking about the crap that I'm playing.
Go give it a squiz. Vux is everywhere. VOOKS.net. VOOKSDOTNET on all the socials. Come have a look. stay around, stay a while and listen. Yeah, I guess that's it from us. So for another episode, I bid everyone a good day. Bye.
Adieu.
Oh, yeah. Bid you adieu.
Oh, morning.
Whenever you're listening to
so
this,
long,
good one.
Farewell.
Yeah, go away. Have a
adieu,
good thing.
Adieu to you.
These always fall apart.
They really do.